everyone. I'm Evelyn.
And I'm Lara. We are the host of Once Upon a Niger podcast, where we take you down history lane as we break down stories about people, places, and events in Nigeria's past and present.
That's right. In every episode, we will take you on a journey of our own discoveries as we feed our curiosity and connect with our heritage. Join us to figure out how the chronicles of the past can help write tomorrow's tale. Welcome, Lara.
Hey, yo.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
Cool. So today we've got a new episode where we're going to be reviewing the film Half of a Yellow Sun.
Yes, by the acclaimed Chimamanda Adichie.
Yes, well, the book is by her. The film was directed
by Bandele.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll be reviewing that, talking about the impacts of it, etc. and more. But before we get into the review, I've got a question for you, and that is around movies and their sequels. What movie have you watched do you think there should be a sequel to, or shouldn't be a sequel to?
That's a good question, but it's quite difficult for me to answer because I don't really have such connections to films that I care so much about whether there's a sequel or not. However, as you know, bad news goes around faster and sticks also for longer. So the film that comes to my mind is Chief Daddy. It's a Nigerian movie. The first part of it, I think, was released 2 years ago. And it's a film that follows the life of a man who passed away. He followed the life of his family after the passing of the man, a very rich man. He had, I think, two wives and multiple children. And after he died, you know, all these kids kept coming out of the woodworks. And you can imagine all the drama that that created. So there's a lot of comedy and drama. It was enjoyable. It was comical. It was refreshing in some way. But then 2 years later, we heard that, oh, there's going to be a sequel. And I haven't watched it, so it kind of makes me feel a bit like, why are you talking about it then? But I think I've heard enough about it to know that it wasn't great.
Okay.
And also the fact that the producer of the film had to come out and release a press statement acknowledging the disappointment that people felt about the film and in a way just acknowledging that it wasn't a great work. And
that's a bit deep.
Yeah, I felt like it was a good, it was good PR on their side because you can't just, you can't, for the amount of criticism that they were receiving, it wouldn't have done them any good for them to just ignore it and act like they didn't see it.
Yeah.
Because it was clearly, and this is why for me, having not watched the film, I felt like I heard so much about it on Nigerian Instagram and Nigerian Twitter, where people just felt like it was unnecessary. The storyline, there was no continuity. They had cast, the casting was on, you know, people were just there for no reason and all that stuff. So yeah. I would say Chief Daddy, but I would feel like for Nigerian movies that have loads of like part two, part three, part four, there's probably quite a few Nigerian films that would fall into that category.
That's true, actually. I don't like it when, I mean, they do that with so many films. Like you have ones where there's a series, which, you know, you can say, okay, fair enough. But there are some where it's like, you know, you're dragging something on. Yeah. But for me...
What about you?
For me, have you watched Speed, you know, with Keanu Reeves? And Sandra Bullock.
No.
Lara, you need to watch that film. Speed is... Speed is a good film.
Okay. Not like Chief Daddy.
No, not like Chief Daddy. Speed is a good... It's like a good classic, like, action 90s film. You know, it's got good tension. It's got, you know, Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock are the main characters. Like, they've got good chemistry. And the film is about a bus that can't go below a certain speed. Otherwise, a bomb is going to explode on the bus and it's got passengers on it. So, you know, as you're watching the film, you know, you're feeling the tension. Keanu Reeves, he's, you know, chasing down this bus. He's trying to make sure that the bus driver does not go underneath, you know, 50 miles per hour, whatever's going on. And you're feeling the tension. You're, you know, when you're in a bus or a vehicle, you feel the speed of the vehicle. Anyway, so...
Why? Because the bus driver didn't know there's a bomb in the
bus. No, the bus driver didn't know that there was, like, a bomb in the bus. So, you know, there's all that tension. The villain is, like, really convincing, like, high-quality actors, you know. I could watch that film again and again and be satisfied.
Right.
Now, that film was very successful. So, you know, the common thing is, all right, we need a sequel to follow it. So, the sequel is called Speed. Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Okay.
And like that film is like, it's just, it's so bad. It doesn't make any sense. Like you don't like get the tension, right, yeah, that you did in the first one.
Right.
You know, like it's a cruise. Even the name cruise, I'm thinking leisure. I'm thinking you're slowing down in life. You're chilling. You're relaxing. And that second film was just so... It was bad. It wasn't good. Like, you couldn't feel the tension. It was, like, on this big boat. It was, like, a bad version of Titanic or something like that.
That's probably, you know, unfortunately, you have films like that that they do really well for the first part. And actually, they should have just let it go when the ovation is the loudest. But then they decide to... Unless you're very convinced that what you're going to bring out as a sequel is going to be amazing, then you should just know where to stop.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So today, as mentioned, we're talking about Half of the Yellow Sun. So, warning, spoilers. I mean, I don't know.
I think everyone should have watched the film by now. It was released in like 2013 or so.
You never know, though. I mean, there are some classics that people have not seen, and it's on their list for... I know that's me. There are some classics that I'm not seeing. But yes, this is your spoiler warning. If you want to listen, watch the film, do that now. Pause. We move.
What's the film about?
So the film is based on the book by Chimamanda, and it's a historical fiction, and it's set against the backdrop of the Nigerian Civil War, which is often referred to as the Biafran War. And from this story, like, the title even refers to the flag, and that flag represents like Igbo secession from Nigeria. And it explores like the complex reasons, the book and the film explores the complex reasons for pulling away from Nigeria not long after independence, and through the relationships of the characters we meet. So the film follows two sisters, Olanna and Kainene, from the Igbo tribe, and they're caught up in the outbreak of the war. The sisters are played by Tandiwe Newton, Anika, Noni Rose, and it also stars like Chiwetel Ejiofor, John Boyega. So like a really good cast. Yeah, so that's like the film, like, in a nutshell.
Yeah. And I guess we're discussing it for this episode, this podcast, because one of our passion is about making history accessible. And so it's quite encouraging to see how an adaptation of a book of Nigerian history being presented in a way that is entertaining, but also informing and educating. And I also feel like it's an introduction for many people into a particular era in Nigeria's history, where you would hope and assume that quite a lot of Nigerians have read Half of a Yellow Sun, but I wouldn't be surprised that many Nigerians, particularly Nigerians in Nigeria, who haven't read the book, just because of the literacy or the attitude to reading generally, I would say, in Nigeria is not quite widespread like that. So it's good to know that if you haven't read the book, you can watch the film and actually get a glimpse or an idea into what happened and have that introduction into that time. It's in like Nigeria's history.
It's an easy entry into the story.
Yeah.
And I feel because the topic is like so heavy, it's almost like it's an easier way into the story, like, emotionally as well, because for me anyway, I think so. But talking about the film and, you know, having, like, watched it again recently, what are, like, your favourite things about the film? Like, what did you really like about it?
I liked the story, right? I liked the people in the story.
Okay.
I liked... I mean, it was... Do you know, it was hard to... I mean, I like the story. I like the acting, particularly of John Boyega.
Okay.
I really liked his character. I liked how he portrayed his character. I felt emotionally connected and I felt...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that, but I'll let you continue.
That's interesting. I liked the way he portrayed the character, and there was a kind of naivety, there was a kind of a silent ambition that wasn't spoken, but was portrayed. I also liked, I think above all, is what I've said before, I liked the fact that it was trying to portray a time in Nigeria's history in a very dramatic, in a dramatic way. But yeah, that's what I liked about it. I guess it's not, I'm not going to go technical because there are quite a few things that I didn't like about it, which, I guess... It tried to do justice to Nigeria's history in a particular way, to Biafran War. It did some justice to helping people see, I guess in terms of the storyline and what the director decided to portray, it was enough for you to know something happened, but it wasn't enough for you to understand how deep it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, looking back, I remember at the time that I heard that the Nigerian government was actually, that they had some contribution or input into how much of the story was told and how the story was told.
The film?
Yeah, of the film.
Okay.
Yeah, how the film was, I don't know how true this was eventually in terms of whether that actually had any impact in the final outcome of the film, but yeah. But what did you like? What was your favourite part?
I feel also, so... I watched it close to the time it originally came out, and re-watching it again, I felt as though the film captured the emotion of the book, and I think for me that was largely to do with like the score. So I really like film scores, and I feel as though the music encapsulated sort of like the sadness of it, and it reminded me, like the film reminded me and like conjured up like emotions in me that I'd forgotten I had when I had like first like read the book and then like watched the film. So it was nice to kind of like go back into that emotional space, even though it's like sad, but yeah, and that's a bit weird. But so I liked that. I think the characters, the actors did really well.
Yeah.
I think the actors did really well. You know, I really wish actually that there were more Nigerian like based actors in the lead roles. I can understand, you know, just from the commercial perspective, you know, you're trying to get actors who will like draw in audiences. So, you know, just from a money perspective, okay, you get Tandiwe Newton in the lead role. But no, I thought the actors did really well. I think it's difficult when you've read the book though, and that you know what should happen in a film, and then there are elements of it that are missing. So,
do you actually remember details of the book?
This is what I mean. It feels almost like it's a ghost. Like there are aspects of the... You're looking at me so strangely. like rewatching the film, it's like I would watch certain scenes and I'd be like, that feels important, like that feels significant, but why does it feel significant? And so, for example, with John Boyega's character, like there's a moment in the film where he's kidnapped.
Yes.
And that's what happens in the film, but it feels quite abrupt when it happens. Yes. There's no lead up to it. Mm-hmm. Yes, we understand in the context of war, but it's like the previous scene, it just cuts to John Boyega and then some miscreants say, oh yeah, come here and like, you know, let's go. Whereas in the book, he's a narrator. He's, you know, his perspective is actually quite strong.
Yeah.
So it's like moments like that that were a bit jarring for me. Mm-hmm. I felt as though that could have been done a bit more smoothly.
Yeah. And I guess naturally, in terms of what we didn't like, I felt like it assumed a lot about people's knowledge of post-colonial Nigeria. And even there was a bit of assumption as well about just what people already know about Biafran War.
Mm.
So there were times when I felt like it was shying away from certain information to...
Like what?
So, for example, the war, right?
Mm.
I didn't... If you know about Biafran War and part of the disaster, part of the things that actually made it an absolute disaster and almost a genocide was the starvation. Like, starvation was weaponized, and it's commonly said that more people died of starvation than they did of bullets.
Mm.
But in the film, there was no portrayal of, you know, people starving or...
No, it wasn't. It wasn't explicit.
Like food rationale, like food, what do you call it? The ration for food was like lower, and you can tell that people were hungry, but it wasn't in such an explicit way where you felt like, wow, this happened. Like, if I don't know what I already know, I wouldn't think, oh wow, people in Biafran War, they starved and they were hungry. And it was actually like when you have your poster child for the African hungry, you know, African children who are hungry and whatnot, I felt like Biafran War was, the images from Biafran War actually contributed to the image that the Western country, that Western countries have of the African, you know, poverty and all that stuff. I also felt like there was an oversimplification of the reason for the war and actually like the political... I felt like it didn't dive enough. There were moments, it was too drama. It was too like, oh, love, like the love. There was too much focus on the love
story
between Olana and Odenigbo. Olana and Odenigbo and Kainene and Richard.
Were you going to say the white man? Yes, the white man.
So it was almost like, so we know this war happening, but it felt like it was just in the background.
But I feel as though that is, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. I think the problem is that it didn't translate well in the film, yes. But I feel as though the book, from what I remember when I read it, like that, I mean, Chimamanda is very talented in that the book, I still felt the presence of the like war being like a character almost in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I agree, it was lost in the film. I think there were attempts to bring it to the forefront again. For example, when they're at the airport and they, you know, massacre all the Igbo people in front of Richard, the white man. sorry, I shouldn't laugh. Gosh, I'm not laughing at that. I'm just laughing at the white man point. But yeah, I think that wasn't translated well. But I feel as though all of the reasons as to why the war happened and yeah, you know, the lead up to that, I feel as though that's a story like in itself. And I'm not sure how you can communicate all of those things and, you know, the dramatic love stories.
Yeah.
In like a 2-hour film.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it felt quite truncated, but then it was 2 hours long. So you're thinking 2 hours is quite a long, it's quite a long time for a movie, right? But even in the things that they showed, what I did like, actually, shall I say, is the fact that they injected real life footage of events in the past. So you saw the actual videos of the interviews, the people, the key players involved, you heard their voices, you saw their images. So I thought that was really good. Otherwise, I did feel like the times when they did talk about the war and the political motivations for it, I think it could have been a bit deeper. I just felt like it was over the surface, like, let's introduce this in here. So I acknowledge the fact that they had limited time to do it. There's only so much you can do in 2 hours, but the ones that they did have, they could have gone a bit deeper, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But again, I think for an entry point into the history, or this particular moment in history, I think it's good enough to pique your interest. Because when I was rewatching it, and my brother was around, and he was like, what is this film about? And then he started researching, you know, what the Biafran War was about and what caused it. So I think the film is like good enough.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. It's not a bad film at all. And I think for me, I guess I'm coming from a place of, so this is why it depends on who's watching it. Because if you are, that's why I said it's a really good introduction into like Nigerian history for people who probably haven't read the book, didn't even know anything about the Civil War. But then I guess if you have a bit of knowledge, or if you've done a bit more research into it, you could find that it doesn't do enough justice, and that might not be the purpose of the film, but you might leave, because you know there's certain films I've watched, like Schindler's List, or there's even like 12 Years a Slave, right? It's a story of a girl and all the things she went through, but then there are times I've left movies or cinemas watching like certain slavery movies, and I just, the feeling, the emotions are just so high, because there's some connection, you feel so much to the history, the way the history is portrayed, the people, the story. I felt like this didn't do that. So I didn't feel leaving like, oh wow, what a sad, you know. Yeah, it was sad, but it wasn't memorable. Yeah, so I think for me, I would say in one word, I would say it didn't capture the magnitude of a country at war for me, even though that's like the basis, that's the backdrop of the story, but it didn't quite capture the magnitude of it for me.
Mm.
Yeah. So despite how the film was and what I've said, and obviously you've made some good points about their effort, which cannot be denied, they did try to touch on certain themes in the film, and certain obvious themes as well, actually. What do you think about...
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of themes that came through. I mean, you've got sisterhood... You've got love, forgiveness, betrayal. You've got the clear like ethnic rivalries and divisions. You've got the international relations between like Britain and Nigeria. Then you've got the national, intra-ethnic relations between Hausa, Igbo, Yoruba people that are mentioned. I mean, those are just a few of the themes that come through, and I think what's really interesting is the way like the characters are vehicles to explore these different themes.
Yeah.
So I think for an example is Richard and Kainene's relationship in the film, and I see that as like a metaphor for the relationship between Britain and Nigeria, and the way they engage with one another. So Richard is like enamored, almost besotted with Kainene. Kainene is really like mysterious,
free-spirited,
but she has, there's a stoicism to her. She's mysterious, she can be curt, but she's also very tender and loyal.
Yes.
And forgiving. But she, like, Kainene represents, you know, Nigeria's desire to establish itself, its own like free will. You know, she throughout the film kind of like asserts herself. She goes and takes over key aspects of her father's business in Port Harcourt. She, you know, goes to dangerous places when everybody's warning her not to. And then you have Richard, who I think he's a little bit naive. I think he's naive. You know, he's curious about Nigeria, and he's a writer, so he's like studying and observing people, and then he meets this woman who probably doesn't, who's very different to the English women that he's been with. You know, he wants to know more, and I feel as though, yeah, he represents that aspect of Britain where they found this new place, there are new waters that they want to enter, you know, and they want to exploit, right? And in his own way, he does. And I think, yeah, I see those two as like a metaphor or some sort of like imagery for like the relationship between like, yeah, Nigeria and Britain. Yeah. So that's like one of the themes, and that the tension that comes from that relationship, you know?
Yeah.
There's tension in the relationship with the characters, because there's some drama that happens in the family. It's quite wild. And then, you know, that is then kind of like pointing to the drama between Nigerian and British interests.
Yeah. And I guess there was also the theme, because the film was set immediately after Nigeria gained independence. So was it not like at the start of the film, they were celebrating the independence of Nigeria? Yeah. And there was this like emerging upper middle class people, and Olanna and her sister were meant to have been British educated, and that explained, because for me, I'd forgotten that they were actually meant to be British educated. So for me, when the film started and they had this British accent and stuff, I was just like, oh my goodness, what is this? And then it eventually sunk in that, okay, actually, this is meant to be, you know, they've come from an affluent family, they were educated abroad, and this is representative of actually a lot of Nigerians at the time who went abroad, who had, you know, a British education, and they came back home when Nigeria gained its independence. But then also this kind of political conversation that people were having, like the intellectuals, because it was almost like there were a group of intellectuals. Odenigbo was a lecturer in a university, and how politics is infused into their day-to-day life, because there was this kind of like emerging of Nigeria coming out of colonial power, and what Nigeria is going to be and what it's not going to be, and this ethnic stuff going on as well. So they did portray that quite well, I think. There was a question that Odenigbo asked during the war, you know, they called him the revolutionary. That was what it was called. And Odenigbo was asking Richard, what do you think accounts for the success of the white man's mission in Nigeria, in Africa?
Yeah.
And then Kainene, like you said, being curt and quite straight, direct, and sometimes could be perceived as rude, she then said, perhaps the question you should be asking is what accounts for the failure of the black man to prevent the white man's mission in Africa? And I think that is a question, that is that's a dissertation question, really, that one could ask. And I felt like, wow, that is so deep, because even the whole Biafran war itself, we can delve into the foundation of it and why it happened and what the reasons for it. And I think we'll do this eventually in another episode. But yeah. It was a good way to kind of help us to start thinking of all these different questions and looking at Nigeria from different angles.
And I think, just the last point before we move on, I think you definitely start to get a sense, for me anyway, of Chimamanda's like politics and her feminism in this film. There's a moment where a character, I think Auntie Ifeka, I can't remember.
The aunt in the north, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a moment in the film where Olanna is heartbroken over Odenigbo's
cheating.
She's crying in her aunt's arms, and her aunt is like, don't ever live your life as though it belongs to a man. Your life is your own.
Come on. Power to the women. Come on.
And I remember when I read that in the book and I saw that in the film, I was like, whew, that's a moment. You know, she's really like saying something really important, you know, and not like, I love that statement. I love the way it's like phrased. I think it was delivered really well. I really like the actress, actually.
And it wasn't like an antagonistic kind of statement. It was like
it's something of comfort.
It's like a reality. Like this is life. Things are going to happen to you. Don't let your happiness or how you live your life depend on anybody, but in this particular instance, because it's a man, don't let it depend on any man. You have to make your choices. So
yeah, so I think that was a really, yeah, it was a summation of like the attitude of like all the women, not all the women, but a lot of the women in the book. So yes, the women are human and they have failings, and that's like portrayed in the characters, but all the women, main characters anyway, they act with agency. They actually do eventually not live like that, live as though their lives depend on a man. You know, Odenigbo cheated on Olanna, and then she cheated back, you know, we can talk about the ethics,
the moralities of
that. All of that. That's another question. But she was she was basically saying, no, I'm not just going to be a victim here. I'm going to respond, I don't know, this act of war in this love of ours. I don't know. Anyway, and then you have, like, as I mentioned, Kain in there. Then you have, like, the aunt. And then you have, like, even Odenibo's mother.
Yeah.
She acts with agency as well.
Because she didn't leave her home when the war came.
Yes, that's good. I wasn't even going to say that. But, yes, she didn't leave her home when the war came. And when she caught wind of Odenibo's relationship, she also took her own strategy to try and disrupt that home
mm-hmm.
by bringing her house girl and quote unquote tricking.
And she brought palm wine when she came to cook, and Odenibo gladly drank.
He gladly drank
the finest palm wine in the village.
So she also took, you know, control of the situation.
Mm.
So I think that was, yeah, that was like a key thing that I recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the women were like, no, I know the path that I want to go down,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to take control. I'm going to take the reins, mm-hmm. yeah, of my life. So, yeah, I think.
And I guess the obvious thing, which we should then kind of make sure to mention, is the tension between the Igbo tribe and the tension between the Igbo tribe and perhaps the rest of Nigeria, in a way. You know, the Hausa and the Yoruba particularly being the three main tribes mm. at the time and even till now in Nigeria. And particularly, I think there was a time when in the film, Odenibo was trying to highlight in a subtle kind of way the neutrality of the Yoruba people in the whole saga that was going on, because it was because
Is even possible,
if neutrality was even possible, but perhaps yes, the I guess sitting on the fence, if you like. And you know, that was portrayed because they were all living in Nsukka. They had a colleague that was played by Genevieve Unanji, and she was meant to be a Yoruba lady, and Odenibo suggested something like, when the war, you're going to go back. You can move around, you can go whichever way you like. You're going to go back to Lagos and it will be like nothing has happened. And so there was that kind of like ethnic rivalry and misunderstanding and division. Anyway, so moving on to what kind of impact do you think the book has had on the world and Nigeria generally, if any impact at all? So speaking of the film now, specifically, do you think it's had any impact?
You mean like, what's my takeaway for tomorrow's tale?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. How is the Chronicles of the Past going to impact tomorrow's or even today's reality?
I think, as I mentioned, the book and the film are like, well, the book is a modern classic. And you know, we have a great tradition like of Nigerian writers. Anyway, so I think the impact or the lesson, I guess, that I've taken like from this film is just, you know, the power of storytelling and always coming back to the humanity of the experiences of people at these major historic moments, and that is what will connect with the world. You know, the Biafran War is a very particular story. It's unique to Nigeria, but the uniqueness of that story doesn't like detract away from the very human and global like feelings that were experienced during the war. And so the power of that book or the story is what I think helped get that the story of the war out and get people talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel as though for many people, like for me, I would say, if you want to learn about the Biafran War, actually read half of The Yellow Sun or watch mm-hmm. the film so that you can, yeah, start off, yeah, really just tapping into the reality of the human emotions
yeah.
that people went through.
I think for me, it's like we've said before, the attempt that it makes to bring this forgotten, even though it wasn't so far in history, Biafran War happened between 1967 and 1970, but it was forgotten in many ways. Many Igbo people felt like it was almost like this thing that was never spoken of, even though it happened, and hence why a lot of Nigerians didn't know about it. I didn't know that there was a civil war in Nigeria. I never knew Nigeria had a civil war until I read them. And I think for me, the impact is bringing the awareness that the film created. I can speak of the book, but I think the film being such an accessible and easy kind of digest and introduction to that event in history. So for something that was almost a forgotten episode in Nigeria's history, I think it brought it back to people's memory, and I think that created impact, particularly for today's Nigeria, where we know that the tension is still ongoing, the fight for Biafra is still ongoing. Mm. And I think having a film that portrays and tells a story of what happened in the time does something in helping in the subconscious of people, knowing that I'm not sure we want to go back to that time. You know, some people are saying, yes, you know, let's go back to Biafra. We want our own state. We want separation. But let's remember what happened once upon a time and the catastrophe that was. And I think that is a great, we need more films like that to bring history to the forefront of our minds and help us to assess our current reality and how we're going to live for the future as well.
Yeah, no, most definitely. So yeah, as we've said, this film is a great entry point into the story and the history of the Biafran War. And in our next episode, we're going to actually delve a little deeper into that. So we're not talking about historical fiction. We're getting into the real.
Getting into the details of the Biafran War, you know, when it happened, like I said, 1967 to 1970. It was a 3-year long war. The key ethnic groups that were involved, the Yoruba people, the Igbo people, the Hausa people, they were major players internationally and nationally. And there was just a lot of story behind it. So we are going to delve deeper. And hopefully this film review has acted as a bit of a precursor.
Whetted your appetite.
Yes. So thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And yeah, join us in the next episode.
Ciao.
So
guys, thank you for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it and learnt a thing or two.
Yep, you can find our episodes on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to keep up with us in between episodes, you can follow us on Instagram at Once Upon a Niger.
You can also find links to some further reading and information about the episode's topic in the show notes. If you want to encourage, collaborate, or as I like to say, support the ministry, drop us an email at onceuponaniger@gmail.com. Bye for now.
Bye.